Wonderful. Good morning, church family. Good morning. Wonderful to see you all, every face here this morning. Come on, we're going to stand in worship to the Lord this morning, and hope you've had an encouraging week and ready to lift up your voice to the Lord. One people, one voice, to one God this morning. Come on, let's lift him up.
Awesome in power, our God, our God. Oh. Water you turn into wine, you open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, oh, none like you.
Come on, lift it up.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
This is our God, serving King. If our God is,
and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand again? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what? Come on, every voice. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand again? Then what can stand again? Our God, oh, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. You are higher than any brother. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Yeah. And if our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
And if our God is with us, come on, sing it again. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand again? Then what can stand again? Then what can stand against? For our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is a healer, awesome in power, our God. God.
Come on, every voice.
Oh, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. The Lion of Judah, he's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow. Hey. Open up. So open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power, fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Every knee will bow before. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Come on, lift your voice, Evangel. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Oh, our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Every knee will bow before Your name. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord? Oh, sing. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Yeah. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Our God.
And our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power in fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. And our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion. And every knee will bow before
Him. Amen. Good morning. Why don't you greet somebody before you're seated this morning? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I want to welcome you this morning. And, you know, the reality is I'm sure that some of you had a great week. And you skipped in here today, and you were excited to get here, and it's all good. And some of you may have had a terrible week, and it took everything you had to get yourself here today. And maybe some of you are watching online because you just couldn't make that happen. And regardless of how you got here today, we're glad you're here. And we believe that God is here, and that's what makes all the difference. Not because of anything we're going to do today, but He's here. Amen. And so our prayer for you as you are welcomed here today is that you would experience God in a way that when you leave this place today, you leave changed than when you came in. If this is the first Sunday you've been here, we want to extend a special welcome to you and tell you that we want to embrace you, serve you, come alongside and support you. And the way we choose to do that here is to ask you to fill out a connection card to get that process started. You'll find that card in the chair pocket in front of you, and you can fill it out. And at the end of the service, you can take it to the foyer, to the information desk, and there's someone there. You can hand it in. There's a small gift there for you. If you have a prayer request or you'd like to meet with a pastor, indicate that on the card, and we'll follow up with that with you. So we're glad that you're here. I do have a couple of announcements today. The first one is today is the Youth Fundraiser Lunch. And so first of all, we are thanking you because Pastor Scott informed me that they raised enough through this lunch that all of the youth can go for absolutely free. So thank you. So now on to some practical matters about that. You're going to be served in the cafe area in the foyer. You start on the right and you check in and then you move along the line because it's only open to those who signed up and paid by last week. They've only made enough food for those who signed up and paid already. So you start there, you check in, and then you just move down the line. You get your food. The side sections are open. And some of you may want to take your food home, but you're welcome to stay, enjoy some company for a while, enjoy your food here, and so just be a part of that today. So thank you. It's going to be an exciting time after the service. It's going to be an exciting time during the service, but also after the service for a little different reason. Our property cleanup ended up being postponed because of rain. And so this coming Saturday, weather permitting, because if it's raining, we can't really do cleaning out the leaves and all that stuff. So we're just hoping for a good sunny Saturday morning. And so this Saturday morning at 10, finish by noon, many hands make light work, bring your kids, force your kids, whatever it takes to come. But if you could be here, if you can contribute, maybe you're limited in what you can do, we'll just come and do those limited things. And we'd love to have you be here. We'll have lunch together at the end. So if you can be here, if it's raining, then you know we're not meeting. And then we'll have to go to plan C. And I don't even know what that is right now. So, but we'll figure that out. At this time, we actually have a video for you. And I'm just going to follow up really quickly after on this video. So if we could play the video with good sound level, we're ready to go.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me.
I was thinking the other day how of Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6, it says that God places the lonely in families. And I was thinking of how God leads us to people who are lonely and need to be, need fellowship, need friendship, and especially in our church family. We have the opportunity to reach out to people, and especially people who are lonely. A year ago, Pastor Shannon asked us to, in a more organized way, visit people in the church who are shut in and unable to come to church for a variety of different health reasons, and especially as people age, they're not able to come so often. And we've been doing that for the past year, and what an amazing blessing it's been. There are about six of us who've been doing it for the past year, and Pastor Chan has given us a list of people who would benefit from a visit, and we've been basically visiting people now once a month, each person.
I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness. Cause all my life you have been faithful.
To let the seniors know that they are not forgotten, that the church family is still thinking about them, and people are still, you know, asking how they're doing. It gives me a joy too.
There's such a joy in visiting because you are showing the warmth of the Lord. The people you visit respond, and they get blessed, and we get blessed. It's just something you want to do more and more for those people who really are lonely.
Some people we visit are able to attend Evangel, but on a very sporadic. And outside of the church, some of them don't have any other connections because there's no family in the city with them. They feel probably a lot of love when we do come and visit them. They aren't forgotten by the church.
I think of this particular lady. She plays the piano, and it's been a long, long time since she's been at Evangel. But she still can play, even though she doesn't remember that she used to play at Evangel. She still can play and play so well.
We're also ministering to the family members that are there. Because one lady that we do visit, she's like, her daughter's home with her all day, and she doesn't get out to see people.
When we ask the one we're visiting if there's anything they would like us to pray for.
Yes.
And these are such special moments because invariably it opens up to a little prayer time. We're just lifted up to a higher level of joy, mm-hmm. having that prayer time with them.
If we had more time, or if he wanted to be there for longer, he would sit there all day and just listen to them. Because it's such a joyful time.
you know, with them sharing about the Lord and the goodness of God in their lives until this until now.
When you see them, and afterwards you feel really good because they gave you the joy too, and they gave you, you feel really good too.
Thank you to those of you who are on the visiting team. And I wrote to Mary this week as I was doing some editing. I said, I'm just sitting here just blessed beyond. I'm just looking at these photos and videos, and it's just such an amazing, amazing ministry, and I'm so grateful for those who come. As the summer is coming on, they would like to have more people involved on a regular basis, but especially as the summer's coming on, some of the members of the team are actually away at different points, and they need someone to fill in. So we're just putting an appeal out. If this is a ministry that you think that you would like to be a part of, that you could contribute to, then you can see Mary or call the office and let us know. And we'd like to get you involved. Even if you think, well, you know what, I can get involved over the summer for a couple of months, but then I have other commitments that I can't carry through, that's great too, because we need the coverage over the summer as well. So if you can do summer, or if you just want to be a part of it ongoing, that would be great. At this time, I'm going to let you know that we do have a nursery for children newborn to age 3. If you want to take your child, you can go there at any time during the service. It's through these doors, down the stairs, and it's on the left-hand side. Children age 4 to grade 5, you are free to go at this point. Just come around the side, out through these doors, and you will meet with your volunteers there. And parents, if you can pick them up at the end, please. Our hospitality team is going to collect our tithes and offerings at this time. And if you prefer to give electronically, you can send an e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. Thank you. God bless you. Hand it back to Jono. God bless you.
Every fear I lay at your feet.
I'll sing through the night, and oh God, the battle belongs to
you. Almighty fortress,
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against.
Come on, let's stand and sing this out.
And Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power. Nothing. You shine through the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. In every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs. So when I fight, so when I every fear I'm letting go of me, I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. Battle belongs to you,
Almighty Fortress.
And Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our
Almighty Fortress.
And Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hidden.
Just your voice. And all hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven. And all hail King Jesus. And all Whatever's on your heart, lift it up to Him this morning. Go ahead. We're hailing Him as our King, who has dominion over all powers, all thrones. Let's honor Him this morning.
Touching every heart, worship you.
lives around. That's what you do. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You are here. Bending every. I worship you. I worship you. Just the voice we sing. In the darkness, my God,
that is who you are.
Waymake, miracle, promise, keep light in the darkness, my God,
that is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Come on, say. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop. You never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never stop, baby. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop,
never stop working.
We make miracle work, promise,
keep light in the darkness, my God,
that is
who you are.
We believe. You way make
miracle work,
promise keep
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
We welcome you, Lord, way make
miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
We make
miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. So, Lord, we welcome you to come and do what only you can do in every heart, every family here in Oakville. Lord, we lift up the nation. Come and do what only you can do. Can do. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is found in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that in them all that there was no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. What a beautiful sense of God's presence in this place. Can't say I didn't tell you. My dad loved wrestling. Now, not Olympic wrestling, but WWE-style wrestling. is not working, Jared. I'm not sure what's going on here. Whoop. There we go. WWE-style wrestling. He didn't watch much on TV, but he would never miss his weekly wrestling. And I want to tell you, he wasn't a passive watcher. He was an active watcher. He was sitting on the edge of the couch. His arms were flailing. His legs were kicking. His teeth were grinding. Footstools were flying. And no one dared sit next to him on the couch because that was the high-risk zone. And we learned that firsthand from experience. You couldn't convince my dad that wrestling wasn't real. You just couldn't convince him of that. Now, personally, I never really liked WWE-style wrestling. Personally, clearly fake, corny, and in my opinion, a poor attempt at entertainment. I hope I'm not offending anyone. It's fair to say that people like me get so turned off by the antics of, quote, professional wrestling, that we fail to see beyond the exterior of it. We fail to see the incredible conditioning of these wrestlers who have spent a lifetime working out and focusing on building their physique and the hours that they've invested in the nutrition and who knows, maybe some of them even took steroids. I don't know, I can't say for sure. We fail to see the incredible athleticism to fly off the top rope and land in a ring. I mean, fake or not, that's athletic. And we fail to see the creativity it takes to create content, well, probably not so much sometimes, that a certain segment of society will engage in so wholeheartedly. Now, recently I've been thinking about how for many people, the church is like WWE wrestling, filled with fakers, corny in our attempts to relate to culture, focused on entertaining those that they want to attract and keep, turned off by the behavior, the antics of those who are a part of it, and especially those who lead it. Now, sadly, I think we all have to admit and be honest that sometimes we as the church have given reason for people to believe these things. People don't just randomly believe these things. They've seen it. And so the truth is we do have some people who are not who they claim to be. The church has some fakers. We are sometimes corny and irrelevant, despite our efforts to convince the culture around us that we can relate to them. Sometimes we do get caught up in trying to make people feel like they want to come and stay based on our quality of production and entertainment with our worship and our preaching and our programs. Sometimes our poor behavior is a turnoff for the outside world looking at us. But may I suggest this morning, if you are willing to look past that stuff, you will see at the core of the church an authenticity, a community of people who love Jesus and love each other, a community of people who live to serve Jesus and to serve one another, a community of people whose hearts break for the surrounding community and desires to show love and grace, a community of people who are more focused on the kingdom of God than they are on the kingdom of this world and politics, a community of people who are more focused on peace than on winning conflicts and killing people. That is the community that I like to believe that EPC is. And so today, we are continuing our This Is Us series. Throughout the series, we're focusing on some of the practices that we value here at EPC as we strive to become the spiritual community that we believe Jesus desires us to become. In week one, We talked about baptism and then followed that up with a beautiful morning of baptisms. Last week, we heard from Pastor Scott and about the value we place on youth ministry. And so today, we'll be focusing on the importance of caring for one another within the church community. And as we do that, we're going to be reminded that in a church community, our relationship with Jesus and our love for one another is demonstrated by selfless personal sacrifice to meet the needs of others. And so I want us to wrestle with this idea of fellowship because it's important to community and it's very important to Scripture, but it can become blurred by a world's understanding of it. And so I just want to take a few moments to walk through. I want to talk about this morning this contemporary idea of fellowship, contemporary fellowship. Once again, slower than me today. There we go. When we say the word fellowship within the context of the church, certain ideas come to mind. Barbecues, good day for it, right? Potluck, church socials, coffee after the service, inviting people into our homes, hanging out with people after the service. These are really good things. These are really good practices, and they help us to build relationships that are necessary to create a sense of belonging, a sense of being known, a sense of being accepted. There are three defining points within a contemporary understanding of fellowship and community. The first is that you're a part of a group, that you identify yourself, that you are a part of a particular group. It might be a sports team. It might be the people you work with in your department at work. It could be a kids' event that you are participating in on a regular event. You might be in a band. Wouldn't you love to be in a band? Just start a band. Maybe not. Or it might be a church, that you're a part of a church. So you're a part of a group. The second is that you share common interests. So if you're on a team, it might be because you like soccer or hockey. I've given up on hockey. After last night, that was it. Last straw. I'm done. Or it might be you have a common interest in engineering, or you have common interest as a group of parents in the lives of your kids, or maybe you love music, or you share a common faith and lifestyle, so you're a part of a church that celebrates that. And the third thing is that you have formed partnerships. So, you know, people in the group have things in common, and they work together to accomplish their goal. And so if it's sports, maybe it's like winning a trophy or winning the league, or it could be as at work, it's completing a project, or providing activity for your kids, or making a difference in the world, depending on the group that you're a part of. Now, I think most of us would agree that these characteristics are necessary within the church. These are amazing characteristics that help define the church. It's important to be a part of a group, because we see that it is not just about me. It's about a bigger group. We can share common faith and mission, and we can work together to accomplish the goals of the kingdom of God. Now, my observation of the church in general is that we have, in many cases, confined biblical fellowship, our understanding of it, to these three areas. And in the process of doing that, we limit the true biblical essence of community and of fellowship. The church can be a place that's friendly. It can be a place that's welcoming. It can be a place that's comfortable to come to, but at the same time, not be relational. Not be authentic, not be deeply connected. That is possible. And so we can experience all three of these aspects of fellowship, but not really get to the heart of authentic biblical community. And so the outside world demonstrates these things. They value these things. We see it all around us. So then what is it that goes beyond these three important things that helps us understand the biblical concept of fellowship and community that sets us apart? Let's take a look at that. Biblical fellowship. In Acts, the Greek word that Luke uses for fellowship is koinonia. And it means unity. It means harmony. It means partnership. A simple definition of fellowship or koinonia is harmony created by a shared purpose. Now, when I read that, the truth is, that sounds a lot like the three things I just discussed in the previous section. So then how is biblical fellowship different? If it sounds exactly the same, if the definition means the same, how's it different? Well, Luke not only uses the word fellowship, but he gives us examples to help us grasp the full extent, the intention of the meaning, because this is a case where words are not sufficient. You can't really define it. He's got to show you examples of it happening to get the fuller sense. And that's what we see in Luke's writings. In Acts 2, 44 to 45, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. For Luke, fellowship is being a part of a group. It is sharing common interests. It is forging partnerships to accomplish a common goal. But it also includes taking responsibility for ownership of one another. And that's what elevates the difference. Luke shows us that in this spirit-formed community, our relationship with Jesus and our love for one another is demonstrated. There's examples by selfless personal sacrifice to meet the needs of others in the community. And that selfless personal sacrifice was demonstrated in the sharing of personal property and possessions to help those who were in need, who were struggling, who had less than. Luke gives us a window into koinonia by providing an example. He gives us good and bad examples. We're just going to quickly look at a good one, which is Barnabas, one of my favorite characters in Scripture for sure. We're first introduced to Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, and we're told that he's a good man. He is full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and many have been saved because of him. I've always said, if that could be on your headstone, that's a good legacy. Barnabas' real name is Joseph. And he was given the name Barnabas by the apostles. They changed his name. His name, Barnabas, means son of encouragement. And when the word son of is used in Scripture, it's a reflection of a person's character. And so he's given the name Barnabas because he demonstrated great encouragement to others in his life. We're told that he's a Levite, born and raised a Jew from the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe of Israel. We're told that he's actually from Cyprus, but he's now living in Jerusalem, and he's a part of the church community there now. And as we read the New Testament, we see that he is an important contributor to the church's expansion. We learn about him in Acts chapter 4, and we see him right up through Paul's ministry near the end. The living conditions for many of the early followers of Jesus in Jerusalem were very difficult because of great persecution. The Jewish religious leaders were not happy that these uneducated people were preaching about Jesus. By killing Jesus, they believed they put an end to any belief that he was the Messiah. They had taken care of that. And the apostles were now preaching the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and they're creating more problems for these religious leaders. And not only were they preaching about Jesus, but they had the audacity to be healing people and performing miracles. I mean, can you imagine? And they were asked to stop. Stop preaching. Stop working miracles. But they wouldn't. And so they were persecuted. And many of them were taken from their homes in the middle of the night, we read, and imprisoned and beaten, and some of them were even killed for their faith. The church in Jerusalem consisted at this time of Jewish believers who had accepted Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. And by declaring their belief in Jesus as the Messiah, many of them put themselves in a potential and significant disadvantage. They experienced family rejection. Their families turned them away. Some of them, their jobs were linked to family and other things. They lost their jobs. Some of them had sanctions put on them because of their beliefs. And so the result is that the believers in Jerusalem were facing tough economic times as punishment for being followers of Jesus. From the impact of persecution and poverty, the Holy Spirit formed this incredible community that resulted in the ultimate example of biblical fellowship, of koinonia. They were of one mind, one soul. They were unified in their thinking, their purpose, and in their love for one another. And because of the dire needs in the church, this godly community took responsibility for each other. Those with resources shared with those who were in need. And the result, it says, is no one was in need. Can you imagine if we walked out of here today and there was an exit poll at the door and say, as you're leaving today, are you still in need? And everybody going out says, no, I'm good. I'm good. No one was in need. Barnabas sold his field, brought the proceeds to the apostles to help support those in need. There's no indication that Barnabas was wealthy or sitting on excess funds. As a Levite, there was actually restrictions on how much property you could even own or wealth you could accumulate. There's no indication at any other point in the New Testament that Barnabas had wealth or resources. We don't see that. He simply took what he had, he sold it, and gave the proceeds to those in the community who were struggling so they could be cared for. As we look at this today, there are two things that I would like to focus on as we consider the scripture. The first is care. Care. In the church community in Acts, we see a group of followers of Jesus that loved each other so much and were committed to each other so deeply that they genuinely and sacrificially took care of each other. Now, it's important to understand there's a big difference. This is important. There's a big difference between caring about people and caring for people. There's a big difference in that. Caring about people and caring for people. You can sincerely care about people, but not be moved to take action or do anything about it. A lot of us care about a lot of things, but we don't ever do anything about it. You could come to realize that there are 30,000 children who die in this world every day of malnutrition and go, that is terrible. I care about that. I wish that didn't happen, but never do anything to change it. Like, that's possible. You could come to realize that we live in one of the highest levels of human trafficking in Canada, and we hear the stories of what's happening, and we could go, wow, that is so horrible and so terrible. Someone needs to stop that. Someone needs to help those who are survivors of human trafficking. Yeah, something needs to be done, but it's terrible, but not do anything about it. You might say, you know what? Generosity is incredibly important, like whether it be in a church or other social agencies or helping others, or generosity is a really important thing, but never give anything. There's a difference in caring about and caring for. Caring for people requires practical action. We pray for people because we care about them. We ask people how they're doing because we care about them. But caring for people also causes us to take practical, tangible steps to help people. And so we share our time, which for many is the most valuable commodity that you have. Or it may be sharing your finances and your resources. It may involve driving someone to church or to an appointment because they don't have transportation and they can't get there. It might be providing a listening ear. And we heard in our video this morning from those who do visitation how valuable it is to sit there and to listen to them, tell their stories and provide a listening ear. Just your very presence, being there, is so important. Making and dropping off food to people. Helping with chores like housework and yard work and clearing snow. Practical things. Caring for people will always involve some level of personal sacrifice. Giving up something of yourself to benefit others in the community. Now, the truth be told, Jennifer and I usually find ourselves on the giving care side of ministry, right? Because, well, we're pastors. And that's what we do if we're doing our job, is caring about but also caring for. But these past couple of weeks, our family has been on the other side, the receiving end of not only being cared about, but also being cared for.
cared for with your prayers, cared for with your encouragement, cared for with your cards and food dropped off and flowers, gift cards for meals and people stepping up to cover different areas. And this has meant more to us than we can even communicate to you, and to not only be cared about, but to be cared for. Because this is biblical fellowship. This is genuine community. We understand biblical fellowship when we care about one another and then when we care for one another. When everyone, because sometimes as the pastor, you're an easy target to be cared about and cared for, right? Where everyone is treated as equals, where no one gets left out and no one is forgotten. That is the standard of koinonia. That is the standard of fellowship. That is the standard of community that Luke is trying to communicate, and it is the type of community that we strive for. It's our desire here at APC. Caring about each other and also caring for each other, even though it will cost us something personally to do it. Care. Secondly, unity. For the most part, I would think it's a fair assessment that our culture values, puts a higher value on independence than it does on accountability. It puts a higher value on one's personal desires than it does the greater good. And we saw that during a pandemic, right? We live in a culture that values or focuses on superficial connection over genuine relationships, right? We have a culture that's obsessed with friends and followers and likes. Very superficial relationship. The reality is, the church has not escaped these trends. The church is viewed by many as something to personally consume rather than a community to invest in. Some view the church as a worship service, and worship service is sometimes viewed as an entertaining media event, rather than a community coming together to collectively surrender our lives to Jesus. That's why we came this morning, to collectively surrender our lives afresh to Jesus. Scripture has become very individualistic. How is it speaking to me? Well, we want Scripture to speak to us, but sometimes we're so obsessed with that, and more problematic, we're obsessed with our interpretation of it, because it fits me and it fits how I want to understand it. I'm more comfortable when I interpret it my own way. It makes me comfortable. That happens. But folks, it's impossible to read the Bible and not realize that our journey of faith is meant to be done together, in community. The Bible opens with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creating a world together and making the statement, "Let us make man in our image." And then God planting a garden and putting a family in it. And then God calling Israel to be a nation of hope, but not just for Israel, not just Israel focused. No, that all the nations of the world will be blessed through this nation. In the New Testament, we see 12 living in community, and then there's 120 gathered in community on the day of Pentecost, and then there's 3,000, and then it grows, and it grows, and it grows. You know that the words "one another" are found 59 times in the New Testament, and I'm going to tell you 59 of them right now. I'm kidding. Some of you got scared. All you could see was a cold hamburger. The Bible says love one another. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Serve one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Submit to one another. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. And do not slander one another. Folks, we were created for community, not isolation. We are created for others, not just ourselves. The church isn't a building. It's not a place you just come to on Sunday. The church is a community of people who are together pursuing the way of Jesus. The church is a community. I just got to say, I saw this quote this week that I thought was fabulous. It said, if I was going to start a new religious movement, I think I would start something that centers around the beliefs of Jesus. I thought, wow, what a great idea. What a great idea. But a sad commentary sometimes, isn't it? The church is a community of people who love Jesus and love each other, a community of people who live to serve Jesus and serve each other, a community of people whose hearts break for the community around us and longs to show love and grace, a community of people who are more focused on the kingdom of God than they are on the kingdom of this world, a community of people who are more focused on peace than winning conflicts and killing. Said this earlier and I just repeated it. You probably noticed. Because it's so important as a reset and a reminder of who we are. The church is where we ask questions. Pastor Scott mentioned last week, referenced the reality, the sad reality that there is an exodus, a massive exodus of young adults who leave the church once they finish high school. And a lot of research has been done around that. And one of the things that pops up as being one of the most significant is that young adults grow up in a church where they're told what to believe and how to act and what to think. And all of a sudden, they start thinking for themselves and they have questions. And some of the things that they've been told doesn't make sense anymore. But the church is not a safe place to ask questions because somehow, as important as our faith is, we think it's not strong enough to stand up to the scrutiny of questions. I wouldn't give my life to that, would you? Why would I want to be a part of a faith that can't stand up to questions? The church is where we ask questions. And I want to tell you, I gave up a long time ago being the guy that stood up here with all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I have more questions than answers. And I'm really comfortable with questions. And I'm really comfortable to say, that's a really good point. I have no idea. The church is where we ask questions. The church is where we wrestle with our faith. It's where we worship together and where we struggle together and where we doubt together. The church is a community where we come with all the brokenness of our past and we find healing. The church is a community where lonely people discover they're not alone. Church is a community of diverse people with serious issues. You have serious issues, people. I know, I'm your pastor. You have serious issues, you have doubts, you have flaws, you have struggles, and Jesus has welcomed us all of us, every last one. I love Dominic Dunn's quote. He says, church is a beautiful mess. It's where our imperfect faith is on display, but when we see Jesus, but then we see Jesus. And mercy and healing begins. We are the bride of Jesus. We are the body of Jesus. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world. We are a community that is centered on unity with Jesus and unity with one another. This is what we strive for. This is what we value at EPC. I'm going to invite our worship team to make their way back. In a church community, our relationship with Jesus and our love for one another is demonstrated by selfless, personal sacrifice to meet the needs of others. Today, we're going to end our service by celebrating communion, and there is no greater display of grace and love and mercy and compassion and acceptance and inclusion and diversity and unity than communion, than in the death of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are one with God and we are one with each other. Would you stand together this morning? Our worship team will lead us as we prepare our hearts to celebrate communion together this morning.
This morning, you would have received the union cup. And for those of you who are not familiar, if you push down the tab, the top thin layer will separate. Pull it back and access the wafer. Access. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20, it says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again until the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together.
Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let's drink together. Lord Jesus, as we gather here this morning, what draws us to this place, the center of our gathering, is you. We love you, Jesus. We desire to serve you and to know you. And Lord, we pray today that you would do a deep-rooted work in all of our lives to continue to change us to be like you, but to also bring us together in the way that you intended, into community and fellowship, unity. That the world would see that we belong to you because of our love for one another, just like you said. And so, Father, I pray, would you continue, Holy Spirit, continue to work in this place, changing us into that community that we see reflected in the book of Acts. And Father, I pray for those that are a part of our community today, those who may be struggling, those who may be sick, those who are facing tough decisions and hardships. And Lord, today we want to care about them and pray for them. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us when we become aware that we would also care for them. Help us to care for one another. Help us to care about one another. Help us to honor you in how we do that. Father, today we pray for Phil Keough, having surgery on Tuesday. We pray that it will be a successful surgery. We pray for a good outcome. And we pray for a good recovery without setback for him. Lord, we pray for Richard Watson today as he takes treatments. And Lord, I pray for healing in his body today. Peace for his family. And Lord, I pray for Fernanda's sister Sue today, struggling, battling cancer. I pray, God, for healing in her life. We pray for Jennifer today, God, for your healing in her life. And others who are here and others who can't be here this morning who are watching us online. Lord, I pray you would work in each and every life today. You strengthen us. Would you give us hope? Would you encourage us? Would you help us to lift our eyes and to see you working in our midst, even when we can't see it. Even when we've missed it, show us that you're working in our lives, Lord. And Father, as we leave this place today, I pray that the impact of what it means to be a community here would just be carried with us out there, touching the hearts and lives of those who are hurting and broken and searching. We ask today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. If you bought a hamburger, pick it up. If you didn't buy one, this might work. Just sit at the table with someone who did. Look at them lovingly and longingly, and they'll say, "Can I share this with you?"